Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, here's a question for my listeners. Do you ever experience low levels of trust at work or in your personal life? Can you imagine what it would be like to be able to build better trust with others? Have you ever wondered why your trust skills are lacking sometimes? Now, would you like to learn what happens when you make some big changes in your work life and in your personal life? Tell me, have you ever heard of a wonderful book called Equilibrium, Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to embrace your own career success? If you can answer yes, or maybe, to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my co-host. She is an author and she is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about creating trust in the workplace. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media, and we are syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. The show is archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my co-host today. She's an organizational effectiveness and HR consultant, advanced emotional intelligence practitioner, executive coach, trainer, and award-winning author. She understands the people side of organizations and how to effectively bring together the corporate vision of business with the know-how of the staff. She helps organizations to take the steps necessary to resolve their people issues. She is a Fulbright scholar who put her acquired skills to good use with over 20 years of experience in a Fortune 500 company prior to launching her own consulting firm, Organizational Soul, which has been in existence for 10 years. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show my co-host, Yvette Bethel. Hi, Yvette. How are you doing, sweetie?
Hi, January. I'm just great. I'm down here in the Bahamas, and it's feeling nice and warm.
Okay. Well, you know, actually, Arizona's having some pretty nice weather, too. So, I mean, there are certain places in the world that it's wonderful to be in the winter, unlike some of the other places. Now, were you born in the Bahamas?
Yes, I was. I was born in Nassau, Bahamas.
Uh-huh.
And I studied in the United States. I earned both my degrees there. And I came back home to contribute.
Uh-huh. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Now, have you married and raised a family and settled completely into the Bahamas?
I can say I've settled, but not married.
I tell you, you are so beautiful. I'm sure that's not going to be a problem for you. How do your mom and dad feel about you being back?
My mom was quite happy that I did decide to come back. My father passed away, but mm-hmm. I'm sure he was happy back then.
Now, do you get back to the States a lot, or what's your life like? Share with us what it is like to run an empire from the Bahamas.
Well, I do some work in the United States. I attend conferences. Once in a while, I have clients that are from the United States, but I have clients from all over the world, Switzerland, South America, Canada. So I'm running a business that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what I thought was interesting, and we spoke about this briefly before we went on the air, and you are a Fulbright scholar. Mm-hmm. Now, share with my listeners what that entails, how you apply for it, what happens when it's awarded, and what a great honor.
Yeah, it was an exciting process. What we did was, it was through the American Embassy based in the Bahamas. Uh-huh. And they invite, back then, I don't think they even offer the Fulbright Scholarship here in the Bahamas anymore. But back when they did, mm-hmm. They invited applicants, and certain applicants were invited to show up for interviews. And it was a process with the panels of PhDs, and they questioned you quite in a lot of detail based mm-hmm. on your essays.
Okay.
And I had an interesting story because with the scholarship at the time, I think they had 4 scholarships available, and I came 5th. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, okay, yeah. I'll be positive, and I was close so I can get it next year. Uh-huh. And, you know, the oddest thing happened. They called me and uh-huh. said, you can get half of the scholarship because someone decided that they can't go this year. So I said, okay. I said, I had no idea where I was going to find the rest of the money. So,
the money, yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll take it. And when I got in school, they not only paid my tuition, they paid everything. Pay for room and board, furniture, everything.
Okay. So now I love that story. That's cool. So where does this money come from? Is it a foundation that donates it?
I think it's the Fulbright Foundation. Uh-huh. I can't remember the name of it. That was back way back in the...
Yeah. that's a great story. And isn't that an amazing thing to have on your resume? Fulbright scholar. I'm so impressed with that. That's wonderful. Okay. So now you're back in the Bahamas. You're doing a wonderful business that you have as a coaching independent consultant. How did you decide to start your own business?
Well, you know, I always wanted to start my own business. And for years, I was saying to people that I worked with, I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to leave. And they never took me seriously because I was so open about it.
Uh-huh.
And when I actually decided to start my own business, it was when my father passed away. And mm-hmm. the one thing that I learned from his death was when I get to that point of death mm-hmm. and considering my mortality, yeah. I want to be able to say I've done everything that I wanted to do. And it was because he didn't. He seemed to want to live, and he felt like he had more to do. And that affected me deeply. And soon after he passed away, I decided I had the courage that I needed to step out and start my own business, not even knowing what I was going to do. But I just mm-hmm. stepped out in faith, and I just figured it out as I went along, which is not like me. You know, I'm a planner. But this time I figured it out.
Wow. And you wrote, you're the author of the CD audiobook, Your Workplace Survival Kit, which I think we need to talk about that because I think survival in the workplace is big. And your other book, Equilibrium and Getting to Equilibrium. Fantastic. How long did it take you to write these books?
Well, for the Workplace Survival Kit, mm-hmm. That was a compilation of essays I'd written. So I used to write articles for the local newspaper,
uh-huh.
and I just compiled a few of them and put them into an audio book.
Okay.
For Equilibrium, that took me about a year to write that book, mm-hmm. and another year and a bit to publish. It was much harder to publish, as you probably already know, than
sure.
to write the book.
Yeah.
And so it took me quite a while to write that one. But the Getting to Equilibrium workbook mm-hmm. is actually an award-winning book. I won an award from the USA Best Book Awards.
Wow.
For that book. That was back in 2012 when mm-hmm. I launched it, and it's been selling.
Oh, and I love it because you were in the category of self-help, getting to Equilibrium. And I always ask this question because, you know, it took me 2 years to write all of my books. And sometimes I get these authors on the book, on the show, and they'll say, oh, I just, you know, 6 months. And I kind of like want to go.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. I'm going like, give me a break. You know, a real book takes, in my opinion, 2 years is probably a good number. That gives you credibility.
Yeah.
Now, you're a conference presenter at the 2013 Nexus EQ conference at Harvard Medical School. That's pretty impressive. How exciting was that?
Oh, it was, I was so nervous, but I'm not usually that nervous, but you know, it was Harvard and mm-hmm. you know, you had to be selected to present and we went through a process with that. But at the same time, I launched my simulation, the games people play at work. And so I presented and had a soft launch and it was an interesting experience. I would do it again.
Loved it. Games people play at work. We could do a whole show on that, and we certainly will. Today we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, Yvette has chosen the title Trust at Work, and that probably goes right along with games. So we'll be right back with Yvette Bethel.
Executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. A people strategy and change consultant, award-winning author, emotional intelligence practitioner, and trainer, Yvette Bethel, can provide you with strategies you can use to empower yourself, grow your people, build your culture, and transform your results. For insights and strategies you can use to develop yourself to build a high-performing team, you can subscribe to Yvette Bethel's weekly podcast, Evolve. Mastery for Leaders of the New World. And sign up for her newsletter at YvetteBethel.com. That's YvetteBethel.com. YvetteBethel.com. Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets, and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone. I'm visiting with my co-host today, Yvette Bethel, who is in the Bahamas. It's been quite a travel day for me. Our previous guest was in Costa Rica, and Yvette is in the Bahamas. So now, Yvette, let's talk about trust at work. This is a really serious topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. One thing that strikes me whenever I walk into an organization is the morale. And morale is so connected to trust, you know. And it's amazing that so many organizations don't get this, or they get it and they don't think it's such a big deal.
Okay. Now, what are some of the, when you walk in, what are some of the red flags you see?
Well, the first thing that I would look at would be, you know, are the employees happy about being at work? How are they interacting with the clients and the customers? How are they interacting with each other? Are they interacting with each other?
Yeah.
You can tell just by observing, you know, exactly how things operate within the climate or the culture of that organization.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the trust factor, that comes from the top down, doesn't it?
Yes, you're quite right, because, you know, the at the top, they should be modeling trustworthy behavior. Mm-hmm. And I find that when they don't, it seems to be automatically replicated throughout the organization. So if the organizational leaders, they are highly political, for instance, that behavior will be replicated throughout the organization because it's accepted.
Mm-hmm. And creating productive morale, positive morale, is just so essential to trust anywhere. That's, you know, that goes anywhere. That's not just at work. That's everywhere in your life, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you just can't, any type of relationship has some level of trust at work. And I learned a very important lesson from a mentor years ago. Uh-huh. He asked me a question. He said, Yvette, do you trust me? And mm-hmm. I said, no, why would I? I've just met you. I don't really know you. I need to learn mm-hmm. to trust you. And I thought about it, because he's always an interesting person. So a little bit later, I went back and I said, why did you ask me that? Do you trust me? Mm-hmm. And he said, Yvette, I learn people and I learn who they are, and I trust them to be who they are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And ever since then, I am never disappointed by people anymore, because I learn you and I expect you, you know.
Uh-huh.
Although I am capable of seeing the best and helping to bring out the best as well, but I learn what your go-to position is as well.
Oh, now see, that's, I probably have missed that DNA gene. You know, because I'm always, you know, just looking for the best, and I'm kind of got my head in the clouds. But you have to be, when you're in the workplace, you have to be realistic and honest, don't you?
Sometimes vigilant.
Sometimes vigilant,
depending on the workplace. You can, you know, the culture is the personality, and some personalities are not very tolerant mm-hmm. of differences and things like that. So you have to be vigilant. And in others, they're very accepting and they embrace differences and they're very inclusive. It just depends on that personality and the culture.
Okay. Now, say I'm going out into the workforce, which is probably never going to happen. You know, because I'm pretty much never going to leave this studio. But if I did go out into the workforce, what are some of the skills that I would need to build trust in that environment?
You know, one of the when you start at the very beginning and at a basic level for trust building, I find is to have some kind of competence in mm-hmm. what you're doing, because people are not going to trust you if they feel that you don't know your own job or if you're a leader, if you don't have some idea of what the rest of the team is doing. Mm-hmm. And then you have to demonstrate some commitment to trust building. And that comes through integrity, for one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
People want to be able to predict, in many cases, what you're going to do and that you'll be fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They expect some level of empathy, that whole ability to connect and connect with authenticity, uh-huh. not this fake. Because, you know, I've had someone say to me, just fake it. But the problem uh-huh. with faking it is people see through fakes.
Well, I think we're seeing that in today's political world.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I mean, this could be a handbook for all the politicians out there.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. You're encouraging, you need to have people skills, which is something yeah. that for some people comes easily, for other people very difficult. Integrity, fairness, empathy, and I love this one, do not fake it.
Yeah, don't fake it. Be real. And be your authentic self, because that's how people connect.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they want to connect and they want to feel valued. That's another point. Value your people. You know?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of leaders who take the credit for other people's work.
Oh, yeah. That would not be good. So yeah. Now, you've written two books about emotional intelligence, and what are some of the skills that emotional intelligence can bring to the table?
Well, the model that I work with is really, we call it the KCG model, know yourself, choose yourself, and give yourself, and you'll notice that only you are in the model, because you can only change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And with knowing yourself, this is about understanding your triggers and how you're triggered depending on what you're feeling and experiencing. Uh-huh. And people will not trust you as a person if you're out of control, if you're always reacting or overreacting, or if you're overwhelmed. People don't mm-hmm. trust that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole self-management piece is very important when you are building trust. And really, you have to start with yourself. The second part is choosing yourself, and this is where, okay, now that I know what my triggers are, what am I going to do with that information?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the skills there is consequential thinking, where you think about the consequences of step A or step B, because step A could lead to mistrust, or it could create space that's not safe, where people are not, you know, willing to speak up and share with you what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
You build a culture of lies.
That is, that could be the title for a great book.
Culture of lies?
No, consequential thinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at our society and people sometimes just do not think about the consequence of their actions. And you could just do a whole, I think you need to think about your next book.
But you know, consequential thinking is one of my favorite skills, because, you know, when you experience an emotion and you have to make a decision, that whole decision-making process happens in a in a nanosecond.
Right, yeah.
Well, I think it takes about 6 seconds to be honest. But sometimes because of the way our synapses are wired in our brains, we just, you know, we see something that looks familiar and then we just react. And the key is now to reprogram that whole reactive cycle so that you're responding in a more deliberate and constructive way.
Mm-hmm. This is just an amazing interview. I'm learning so much today that I think I really probably need to learn. Right now, we're going to share our sponsors, what they know. And then when we come back, we're going to share Yvette's website and how you can contact her and what is on her website. We'll be right back.
Come explore with Clyde McCauley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. I've seen dead people, author Teresa Sneed says with a grin. They've spoken to me. Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angels series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has three more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit TeresaSneed.com for more information or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Priceless Personalities is also now available at audiblebooks.com. I have a priceless personality visiting with us today, my co-host from the Bahamas, Yvette Bethel. Now, Yvette, let's talk about your wonderful website. I have it up on my computer. It's fabulous. You have all kinds of services, mastery tools, podcasts, blogs. Share a little bit with my listeners how they can contact you.
Well, they can contact me actually through the website and on the contact page. But what would be much better for them would be to sign up for my free podcast. It's available on iTunes. And they can subscribe through the website, YvetteBethel.com. And they can hear about what I have to say. I'm also, this week, actually, they can sign up on the website also for a free webinar called the EQ Leader.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And when is that taking place?
Well, that's going to be on Thursday, March 17th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay. I'm going to be traveling that day, but if you are listening and would like a free webinar, go to Yvette, and that's Y-V-E-T-T-E-B-E-T-T-E. HEL.com. And now, how can people get your books?
My books are all available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two choices online.
Okay. And of course, that your website. Now, let's talk a little bit about the different types of work culture. And I was not even aware of these since I never leave my studio, but what are they?
Well, I guess depending on the author, there are different ones. But the ones that I work with are the clan culture, which is more like a family culture.
Uh-huh.
And you have the hierarchy, the hierarchical culture. That's more bureaucratic. And, you know, a lot of banks are hierarchical. They have a lot of layers, and you have to go through these layers to get things done.
Okay.
There's a lot of control in that culture. Then you have the market culture that is driven by sales and, you know, just succeeding in the market.
Uh-huh.
And the last one is called the adhocracy, which those are the cultures like Google that are all innovative. And, they do great things for staff and for clients, and they're always innovating and creating. And that's an adhocracy culture.
Okay, that's a new word for me. And clan, hire, marketing, adhocracy. Now, so this would be like YouTube and different things like that?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Okay, now give me other examples besides Google.
Oh, you meant YouTube. Yes, Zappos, I think they were trying some interesting things. So,
mm-hmm.
And I said Google earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and so what about trust in this type of environment? It's got to be scary, isn't it?
Actually, trust can happen in all those types, and it can deteriorate in all four types of culture, depending on how what people do and what they value. For instance, in the clan culture, that's always like a family type culture. It's close knit, and you can have a lot of trust. But when you start infringing on each other's boundaries and not being very clear about what different people should be doing, that can cause conflict and that erodes trust. So it can work both ways in any of the cultures.
Sure. Oh. And okay, so now let's talk about the emotional intelligence skills that you rely on or that we should rely on when building trust in the workplace.
Well, before I always select would be self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So that and that's absolutely necessary, because at the very foundation of emotional intelligence, you need to be aware of yourself. That's the only way you can build the skills you need to be aware of others. So self-awareness is the first one. Then optimism, and that's about no matter what happens, you see the situation as temporary or isolated, but you're never disempowered. You always feel that there is a way, and while it may seem to be no way at this time, it will pass. The third one would be consequential thinking. I love that one.
That's I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your next book.
And the fourth one, this is the part of the model where you connect with others and you do it in such a way that is authentic. And that's empathy. You know, I think those are the ones I try to practice the most, because I'm what you call a highly sensitive person. So I'm empathic, and I sense a lot more, I think, than of what is going on than some people. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to manage that sensitivity, and because it's all front and center, what you're feeling is just so big. And so sometimes it feels like it's unmanageable, but the emotional intelligence skills help you to manage that and to move through it, because you can't get rid of it. What you do is you work with it. because all emotion is information. And you make the choice in how you utilize that information.
Well, that's interesting. That simplifies it. Emotion is information. Now, do you consider yourself a psychic type person?
I consider myself intuitive.
Intuitive.
But I balance being in the working world. You always have to balance intuition and insight with really logic and rationale, because that's the language of the business world. So it's a matter of balancing. Yes.
Okay. Well, I have several psychics who are co-hosts on the show, and and of course they can see auras, and of course, and you are from the island, so you probably have had some experiences. So I'm always curious about that. Now, once trust is lost and destroyed, what happens? How can you rebuild it? How can you get someone's trust back? I know that's a tough question.
Yeah, it really is, because once trust is lost, there's oftentimes a whole lot of emotion going on.
Uh-huh.
And the first step that I try to take is to either apologize, take responsibility, ownership, or just talk about it. And you really need both people for that to work. Both people need to be willing to do it, because I've had situations where, you know, both people were not. And, you know, the situation was not resolvable at that time. But you really need to be authentic and connective in that conversation. And it takes time to build trust. I was looking at a case the other day, and it was talking about this gentleman. He was in a position in a bank, and he was moved to another position and was reporting to someone. He had initially, he was their manager, and now she became the boss of the team.
Role reversal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he came into it he was being difficult, and then he started to become toxic for the team. And, you know, it's a process. You have to go through a process of connecting first, because a lot of times people try to jump in and just resolve it and go through all the HR, you know, that whole HR checklist, like do a performance review and then have a coaching session. But the first step is really to connect and to get the person to open up. And sometimes that can take many, many meetings. It's not a one-shot deal when you're rebuilding trust in any relationship. You start at a certain point, and sometimes you never even get to the level of trust that existed before the conflict started.
And I think when you started out, you said you have to have both parties willing to engage, and this sounds almost like divorce proceedings.
Actually, you're right.
it can be pretty brutal, but we're going to hear from our sponsors, who are not brutal, who we love and adore. And when we come back with Yvette, we're going to talk about some of the things in her book, Equilibrium, that can help you to become more trustworthy. We'll be right back.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine, certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive. She brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back with my co-host, Yvette Bethel, to Real Fast January Jones Success Stories. We're talking with Yvette, and I want to share with everyone that she'll be back with us in April on the 18th. We're going to visit with her again. Definitely next month, Yvette, I would like to talk about the games people play at work. And by the way, I think that would be a great title for a book. Also, we want to share next month the 6 tips that will improve value to your employer, which I think a lot of people could use those tips. Now, in Equilibrium, you talk about how to become more trustworthy. Any thing you could comment on that?
Well, in Equilibrium, I really talk about how to become more trustworthy from the perspective of building your emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And that whole emotional intelligence skill set helps you to become more disciplined, mm-hmm. so that you can connect with people and your coworkers at work. Mm-hmm. So when you develop that emotional intelligence, you pretty much learn to, we talked about it earlier, where you manage your reactions and move uh-huh. them so that they become responses. So that, as I said earlier, you're more deliberate, you're more constructive in your approach, so that what that does is when you're emotionally intelligent and you're not knee-jerking and, you know, overreacting, yeah. people feel safe opening up and trusting. So mm-hmm. by using your emotional intelligence, you can begin to create safe space within okay. the organization.
Okay. That is safe space. That's something that most workplaces lack, don't they?
You know, absolutely. And a lot of workplaces have these programs. One that I was familiar with was called Speak Up. But when you mm-hmm. speak up, you're told to shut up. Or, you know, that you're just attacked brutally in some cases for expressing your opinion. And over time, what happens is more and more people become voiceless. You know, there's a quote that I remember. I can't remember the name of the author, but it's the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation. And for me, that whole quotation describes what I see in a lot of cases, because people have become so voiceless in some workplaces that they're quietly desperate. You know, they want to leave, they want to do something, but they feel stuck in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. And that's I think the term the silent majority would apply to that description.
Yes.
But I love having you on the show because all I want to do is get you to write more books because now...
You know, yeah. I'm actually working on another one called Operation Cultural Liberation, and that's about politics in the workplace.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that because I wanted you to write a book called Speak Up or Shut Up. I thought that was a pretty killer title. You are a killer guest, and I love having you visit with us.
Oh,
from the Bahamas. So now, as we go up the air, are you going to go to the beach or have a Mai Tai? Or what is your day like?
Oh, I'm going to go to bed early because I have an early flight in the morning.
Okay.
Nothing exciting. No. Very early flight.
Okay. Well, I look forward to having you back with us. Yvette will be back Monday, April 18th, and I've already told her what topics I want to talk about, and we might add Speak Up or Shut Up. I like that one a lot.
You better watch what I say. It could become a topic.
yeah, or at least a title. Thank you so much, Yvette, and have a wonderful, safe trip tomorrow. We look forward to visiting with you again. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show with Yvette. She is a very amazing, interesting lady. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Yvette. This is the show you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, especially in the workplace. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our secrets for success in the workplace and in your private life. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then you can go out and start sharing our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my co-host today from the Bahamas, Yvette Bethel. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.